Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship on this last Sunday of August. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God of glory, the end of our searching, help us to lay aside all that prevents us from seeking your kingdom and to give all that we have to gain the pearl beyond all price through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited to someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who has invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honoured in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbours, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of the Lord. When Laura and I were planning our civil partnership ceremony and the meal that would then follow afterwards, we decided it would be quite a small affair. Well, I don't have many relatives on my side of the family. Laura does. So we kept it to just parents, siblings, and aunties and uncles. There were no friends. There were no second cousins once removed. There were no relatives that we haven't spoken to in 30 years. And it was also in Bournemouth. So it meant travelling for Laura's family and not for mine. We had that joy of sitting around trying to work out who was going to sit with who. And while we didn't have a top table, as we had four round tables, we had a table that was ourselves, Laura's children, and our parents. Thankfully, I don't think anybody was too unhappy with the seating arrangements for that day, which I think was mainly due to the fact that there was a pot of Lego to play with during the meal on each table. Bizarrely, it was her brother and her uncle that were sat engrossed in the Lego for most of it. But it can be a nightmare if you have a meal with lots of people trying to work out who is going to sit next to who, especially if they do not get along, or you know one relative will give another relative the third degree about their life and what is going on and what they're doing wrong. Laura and myself attended a wedding reception for a couple that we knew through church, and I had assisted at their wedding blessing with another vicar. Again, it was a very small affair with maybe 40 people packed into their reception room. We had no idea of the seating arrangements until we got to the venue, and we discovered that we were on the top table. We were sat with the bride and the groom, his three teenage children, and his parents. The vicar, who had led most of the marriage blessing service and sorted out all the details beforehand, was not on that table. They were sat with the bride's family and friends. They were not happy. After the meal, the vicar came up to us as we were sat outside on a bench in the beautiful gardens of this hotel, and they were indignant. With a raised voice, they ranted at us, which is the only word I can use, and they ranted about why they hadn't been on the top table. Why were we, and why weren't they? We kind of just sat there in a little bit of shock and didn't really have an answer for them as they stormed off and went home. Several weeks later at that church, this reading came up in the lectionary and they preached on this passage. And the irony, they didn't get the irony of it at all. Because in this passage, we hear Jesus saying that it's better to sit at the lowest place and be moved up than to just assume that you should be at the important place at the top table. In this reading from Luke's Gospel, we have Jesus at the house of a Pharisee once again. It's the third time this happens in Luke, and in the missing six verses that we don't have as part of our lectionary, Jesus once again heals somebody on the Sabbath. Now, the Pharisees sometimes are seen as the bad people in Scripture, and some of them possibly were, but some of them were just faithfully living out the law that they lived by in the best way they possibly could, which meant they sometimes challenged Jesus on what he was saying and doing because it went against the law that they lived by. Some Pharisees invited Jesus into their homes and others warn him that they are coming after him. I don't think saying all the Pharisees were bad is fair because I don't think they were all out to get him necessarily. Which brings us to verse 7, where Jesus notices how the guests of the meal are choosing the place of honour to recline at. And so he tells this parable about a wedding banquet, about how it's better to sit at the lowest place and then be asked to move up, rather than sit at the top place and be told to move down, to be humble or to be humiliated. If we are the guest to someone's house for a dinner, do we rush to the table to make sure we get the best seat in the place? Or do we hang back slightly and take in where other people are sitting and then take our place at the table? Or if we're the host, do we carefully plan where everybody is going to sit? Do we plan in order of importance or do we let them choose? Who I think is important is going to be very different probably to who you think is important. I remember a story about the now retired Bishop of Liverpool, Bishop Paul Bayes. He was at a church due for something, probably a confirmation or a licensing service, and then they had refreshments afterwards, as most churches would, and he was making his way around the room talking to people, as he would do. And then nobody could really find him. He kind of disappeared. He was actually in the kitchen, washing up, because actually that's where he felt he should be, helping those clean up. Sometimes just getting a place at the table in the first place can be an issue. For many, a place at the table means being heard and being seen in a workplace or elsewhere in order for their concerns and values to be heard. And in the patriarchal culture of Jesus' day, the idea of a meal or a banquet was also about social expectations and the constructs of the day, and how honour and shame from those beneath you that you'd invited reflected on the host or the one at the top of that structure. Jesus, as always, throws all of that on its head, and rather than an honour and shame culture, brings one of love and grace. God is the ultimate host. And if God is at the top, we can take that milk crate to sit on instead of a chair, because we know that we are loved by God for who we are. And it doesn't matter where we sit, because actually God's love is all-encompassing. It's a bit like the wedding couple reception that we went to. We were just happy to be there. We didn't really care where we were sat. And it's the same with God. We can just be happy that we are included in his family and leave it at that. The reversal of the values of the day once again shows us how the kingdom of God is about love for all and how putting others before us is part of that. Who we think are important people might not be to others. And so if you want to find me at a function or an important meal where there's lots going on, I'll probably be in the kitchen washing up or stacking the chairs. Amen. is all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.